I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars, Cold War in Orbit. Dr. Space, David Livingston joins me. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, John. How
the
are you?
The Cold War in space is getting chillier and chillier, and there's a new player. Like in a romance, there's a third party. China suddenly enters. China has a space program, last time I checked, David, but isn't it a military program?
Primarily, yes. It's all done by their military.
And that's a problem for NASA, but it doesn't look to be much of a problem for Roscosmos, does it, David?
No, they signed an agreement for space exploration a couple of days ago with China.
I welcome Anatoly Zak, our correspondent on Russian space. Anatoly keeps the very helpful and detailed website RussianSpaceWeb.com, and he is also the author of a book about Russian space, Past Explained, Future Explored, Present Explored. But the present right now is in international politics. Anatoly, we've missed you. I'm glad you're back. First of all, it's good news. It's good news that Russia has boosted Roscosmos' budget by $52 billion. Was that a surprise, Anatoly? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. No, this is not a surprise at all, because if you look at the past 10 years, Russian space budget was growing consistently, and it increased, and for the first time this or last year, it reached actually the level of the European Space Agency, which is quite an accomplishment on a budget side. So there is no surprise that it continues growing, and probably we might anticipate that there will be a little bit more in the future.
And this is about building for the 21st century, which is what the new spaceport is. But before David comes on, I want to anticipate this. Does this budget speak to what we're told are talks between Roscosmos and China to work together in the future? Anatoly?
Well, in certain extent, yes. However, we should remember that China and Russia signed a number of agreements in the past 20 years. So I think what's important here is to not what they signed, but what they actually did together. So far, it was relatively modest level of cooperation. We will see what will be in the future. So it's, again, we should see at the actions rather than paper.
David?
Good evening, Anatoly. In this new budget boost, is there any breakdown or allocation of what goes into, say, working the International Space Station and building the new big rocket and other things that Russia wants to do?
We know from the past budgets that manned space program is a very big budget item in the Russian space program, which is very similar to what, you know, China and the United States have. It's a manned space program is expensive in general, so it's a big ticket item. However, as on China, we will see also this big rocket, which Russia is anticipating to start developing. The decision have not been announced officially yet. Russian Space Agency apparently working on preliminary designs of this big moon rocket. However, the program yet to start, and again, we need to see what the dynamic of funding will be in the next few years in order to see whether this program is feasible, because, of course, it's a multi-year program, so a one-year increase is not really enough to develop a rocket like that.
A week ago, David and I spoke to Bill Harwood of CBS, and we asked him at one point whether the astronauts, the cosmonauts, those who go up and down using Russian rockets and the Soyuz, are worried, anxious about the future because of all the news and the possibilities of a breakdown between Moscow and Washington. And the general answer was yes. They talk about it all the time. They read the headlines too. Anatoly, do you hear that the cosmonaut program is worried about its future because of the Cold War?
I believe so. I believe that the future of the joint manned space program beyond the ISS, beyond the International Space Station, is not right now under big question because, of course, of political situation between the United States and Russia. In order for us to cooperate beyond the ISS, for example, on any ambitious project like going to the moon or going to Mars even more, we really two countries need very close cooperation and they obviously need very good political relations. So it would be virtually impossible under current climate to reach an agreement like that.
David?
Anatoly, do you personally think that this is just a lot of rhetoric and positioning, and are you pretty confident that it will eventually calm down and sort of go back to status quo, or what is your concern level?
Yes, I want to. Well, I believe that some damage has already been done beyond immediate repair. Not something which will be repaired immediately, unfortunately. However, I still hope that it will not get worse, because right now it's not the question. It's already the fact. We have the facts on the ground. We have damaged relations already. What I hope is that it will not go even worse than that.
Anatoly, you're not a diplomat, are you? You're a man. You're a man who reads facts, and you can see right.
Yes, I can speak my mind.
Yes. You can speak the facts right now. A detail here: there was a proton failure last week. Is this a concern?
Yes, it's a big concern, because the proton rocket is the essentially workhorse of the Russian space program on several fronts. First of all, on commercial. A part of the program, because it's a main money maker for the Russian space program. It's obviously a very big player on the international stage. And also, the Proton is also important for the future of manned space program, because number of projects for the future of the International Space Station, people very often forget that, but the Proton will play a very important role in launching future pieces of the International Space Station on the Russian side. So for the Russian manned space program, it's also a very serious problem. And of course, the Russian European project to launch the rover to Mars in 2018 also depends on Proton, and the reliability of this rocket is extremely important for the planetary exploration. So on three different fronts, it's a big blow to the Russian space program.
David, on your program, you range wide in your conversations, and I have not seen you talk about this, but I'm going to ask whether you've heard it on air or off air. Is there entertainment of replacing the U.S. with China on the ISS after 2020?
I've never heard it discussed or brought up, but I have heard the technical explanation of why China doesn't have very much that's compatible with the United States for the space station. I think it would be a logistic nightmare, but also remember, they do have this agreement, which amounts to a treaty, and both Russia and the United States have good track records in not breaking treaties. So I just think that's pretty far-fetched. I don't see that as being a possibility. But we do hear and discuss, and maybe Anatoly, you can comment on this, that Russia could separate its module from the ISS, launch its remaining finished but unlaunched module, and have its own independent space station, while we don't have any options like that. Anatoly, can you speak toward that?
Yes. First of all, I absolutely agree on a Chinese part of the participation in ISS. I think it's politically and from the engineering point, it's impossible, almost nearly impossible. It can be sort of considered on paper, maybe, but I think from the political standpoint and from the technical standpoint, it's too difficult, too many problems between different parties here. However, on the Russian side of the International Space Station, yes, there were serious studies done, and under certain circumstances, it will be possible to separate Russian part of the station, and it can function as a separate space station in the future, if Russians decide to do this. Obviously, they will need to have some kind of agreement with the United States and with all the other partners in order to do this. But so there will be some kind of political decision to do this. However, from the engineering standpoint, it's possible to do.
Anatoly, my memory is that the reason the ISS is in the position it's in, which is not convenient for launches from Kennedy, is Canaveral, is because of where the Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan is and the launch logistics for that. Does that continue in the new Cosmodrome out in the Amur Oblast, that is convenient to the ISS, or would that be convenient to a different orbit if they were to put up a space station with the Chinese or by themselves?
Yes, the new space launch site which they're building is located at the same latitude as Baikonur. Not exactly, but very close. So they will be able to launch rockets in the eastern direction, and they will reach exactly the same orbit which where the ISS is right now. So they can launch vehicles to service the ISS or the future station in the same orbital inclination toward the equator, as exactly as the ISS. So, to put it simply, yes, they can fly from both the Baikonur and the future web space site to the International Space Station or to the new station in the same orbit.
David, that makes the Russians in a much better position to exploit into the future the ISS and what comes afterwards.
Well, yes and no. It's a big penalty in mass to go to the higher latitude, to the higher orbits for the United States. But of course, we've been doing it. And when the Columbia accident occurred, Russia was our only, you know, way to get up there, the same way as what it is now. So it is. It's not an impossible thing. It's not even really an uneconomic thing. It's just you have to factor it in on how you build the mission. You can't take as much payload because you have to have a lot more fuel
from Canaveral. From Canaveral, right?
Yeah.
But
so,
if Canaveral's cut out of the formula, you see what I mean, David?
Well, it's not really cut out of the formula. We can get there. We can do it. But we pay a penalty for doing it.
However, if Russia drops us, David.
If Russia drops us, it wouldn't matter anyway.
No, it wouldn't. And they'd have the ISS to themselves.
Well, they'd have to separate their module, I believe, because the others would probably, well, I don't know if they'd go along. You've got Canadian parts and other partners up there. It does take both the U.S. and Russia to operate the current space station. So if they actually did want to separate and then put their other modules up and turn it into their own space station, assuming they could make the agreements work and do all of that, we would have nothing, and they would have a space station.
David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show, Anatoly Zak. The website is RussianSpaceWeb.com. If you want to follow very closely the developments of the suddenly very, very heavily financed Roscosmos, I recommend Anatoly's site. That's how I follow it. That's why I know about the proton failure in the third stage. Anatoly Zak, the author of Russian Space, The Past Explained, The Future Explored. Need an update there, Anatoly, the way things are going. Thank you very much. I'm John Batchelor, Hotel Mars, Episode N.